Hey, I'll check out the audiobook of Lou Rockwell's Fascism Versus Capitalism, narrated by me, Scott Horton, at audible.com. It's a great collection of his essays and speeches on the important tradition of liberty. From medieval history to the Ron Paul Revolution, Rockwell blasts our status enemies, profiles our greatest libertarian heroes, and prescribes the path forward in the battle against Leviathan. Fascism Versus Capitalism by Lou Rockwell for audiobook. Find it at Audible, Amazon, iTunes, or just click in the right margin of my website at scotthorton.org. All right, you guys, welcome to the show. I'm Scott Horton. It's the Scott Horton Show. Check out the archives at scotthorton.org. The new and improved scotthorton.org. Now HTTPS and everything. New and improved scotthorton.org. All the archives there. 4,000-something interviews going back to 2003 for you there. Send me emails about bugs if you find them. And, of course, libertarianinstitute.org. That's where we got it going on now. LibertarianInstitute.org, me, Will Griggs, Sheldon Richmond, and Jared LaBelle there. Follow me on Twitter, at Scott Horton Show. Okay, introducing our friend Nasser Arabi. He's a journalist from and based out of Sana'a, Yemen. And he's written in the past for the Carnegie Endowment website and a couple other Western sources. And he has his own news organization in Yemen. It's called Yemen Now. Yemen Now. It's Yemen Alan, A-L-A-A-N, Yemen-Alan.com. And very happy to welcome him back to the show. Hi, Nasser. How are you, sir?
Thank you very much, Scott. And thank you very much for having me.
Appreciate you. Okay, so we're at, I think, 22 months now, almost two solid years of American-backed Saudi air war against, the government, the new government and the people of Yemen. So I guess the first thing is first here. Can you please describe for us, if you could, and take as much time as you need to, what would you have the people, especially of the United States, understand about the humanitarian crisis in Yemen now? How many people have been killed? How many wounded, how many going hungry, these kinds of things?
What I want to start with is to tell your audience that it's a catastrophic, it's a very catastrophic situation here in terms of humanitarian things because of this U.S.-backed Saudi aggression. Because especially Saudi Arabia from the very beginning focused on how to use the economic and humanitarian things as a tool to impose what Saudi wanted here in Yemen. And this is why it is a catastrophe. Again, over 60,000 civilians were killed now, over 60,000. I am one of the most important observers from the very beginning of this war. For every massacre, every single Yemeni killed, everywhere from the very beginning. In addition to our army of Yemenis, of course, and NGOs. But the problem is that when I'm saying now 60,000 Yemenis or civilians, Yemeni civilians were killed. Many people all over the world, inside Yemen and outside Yemen, would say, no, UN is saying 10,000. I would tell them, I would tell everybody, like I told today, the UN chief in Yemen, Jimmy Michael Drake, I told him today, and I posted a tweet, you can see it in a video. I told him today about this number. I told him, I just reminded him when he and his staff bought this number 1 year ago. I told him in his office today, and it is now a video. You can see it, and your audience can see it in my Twitter now. What he said, what did he say? He just said that more than 50% of health facilities in Yemen are destroyed and not functioning anymore. So who we don't have any documents, and nobody can give us any statistics or documents. So this is the reason that UN is saying today why they don't have new or updated statistics of the Yemenis who were killed. They said no health facilities functioning anymore.
Right. Now, I'm sorry. Now, so let me stop you for just a second. I'm sorry. I just couldn't understand what you said. I just needed to turn you up at the time. I missed exactly what you said. What is the source for the 60,000? How do you know that it's 60,000?
Yes, that's good. Yes. This is a good thing. The source I have is from the local group and from my observation as Yemeni, as a journalist, and as I told you, I counted, I observed all massacres. So we have a rough number, a rough figure of 60,000 civilians who were killed so far, including those who died of illness and hunger because of this aggression. If you can see the video, the UN chief agreed with me. He didn't disagree. He didn't say anything, but he said we can't do anything because we don't have documents. But he said he knows that the number he said is very silly, and that the number that the media is using now is very, very, very low than the reality. Everybody knows it. So many local human rights groups and many local groups here have even more than 60, but they just bought the those who were injured also to say about 60, 65, and 70, between 50,000 to 70,000. They are different in these numbers, the local groups. UN bought this number is 1 year ago. It's enough for you. It's enough as an evidence that this number is very old, not updated. And the UN chief told me today that the facility, the health facilities are not functioning to document any new numbers or any new casualties since 1 year.
Yeah. Well, and now
so
it's
a problem.
Sure. Well, it's been almost two full years of war.
Let me just give you a general view of the other thing. So about 60,000 killed, about 3 million displaced, homeless, about 20 million of 30, about 20 million, that is two-thirds of the Yemenis, are food insecure now, food insecure. If you want me to give you an example, what I mean by this, the blockade made this problem because Yemen imports about 90% of its food from outside Yemen, and now it's blockaded now from air, from sea, and from the land by Saudi Arabia. This is the humanitarian situation, and you can ask your question.
Yeah. Well, and now I wanted to point out for people who are new to this topic that here we are almost 2 years of war, 22 months into this air war. And really, there had been conflict going on, of course, before the Saudis started bombing even. But at the time, all the human rights groups said that this is the poorest country in the Middle East and that they're almost entirely dependent on imports for their food resources here. 80 to 90% of their food before was traded in from abroad. And all of this has been disrupted. And, you know, of course, people adapt somewhat. But at the same time, too, even Oxfam and them are saying people are starving.
Yes. Yes. Let me add one thing. People now in the South and the North did not have salaries for 6 months now. People who are in the North and who are in the South, who are under Saudi-backed appointed president or Saudi-appointed president in Hadi, they didn't have their salaries as well because of the problem of the central bank. They dismantled the bank, and now it is not functioning anymore, and the people are without salaries.
Right, and now, well, let me ask you this. Is any food or, you know, relief getting through at all? Because they've said that they relaxed the blockade and that now the humanitarian groups can bring in food. Is that working at all?
Yes. We can't deny these things. There are many attempts. There are many successful attempts from the relief organizations, UN or others. They are doing some good jobs, yes, but it is not enough. You know, they risk their lives and they help, but it's not enough at all. We can see here what is happening here in Sana'a. They can't, of course, go to every place and every single man or woman and help, but they are helping. They are doing their best, but it is very short. It is not enough at all because. As I told you, it is a systematic. It is something done deliberately by Saudi Arabia to make Yemenis nail down, to make Yemenis surrender, which will not happen, of course. I will tell you later about the military and the preparations for these things. But this is what Saudi wanted to do. They want to say, okay, now we will surrender. No, Yemenis will not at all surrender. They get stronger and stronger in terms of fighting, of course, in terms of fighting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so tell me about the ground war and the air war, I guess specifically in the south of the country now. The so-called government, the Hadi government backed by Saudi and America, is based out of Aden still, right?
Yes.
And how much territory do they control around the port city of Aden there?
So in the south, which is the south of the country, is about, let me say 50%. Let me say 50%. 50% south, 50% north. They control only Aden, and Aden is not secure, even for President Hadi.
Mm-hmm. Well, now,
not only this, even in the south, for example, the south now is under their name. You know, they take control over them in a way or another, right? But they don't serve people. They don't do anything. Al-Qaeda and ISIS is the one who provides the social services like education, like health, like food and other things. Hadi does not do anything at all. This is the most dangerous problem. And the evidence for this is that Hadi could not even pay salaries for his people, although he received now about 200 billion Yemeni riyals, of course, as a cash, new printed cash from Russia. So but he could not until now pay the salaries for the government employee because of the central data and the central document, the central bank documents are still here in Sana'a. It is not easy to give people money and you don't have the documents and you don't have the payrolls and these things. So it is still difficult even for Hadi to give the salary for the people. This is why it is difficult.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there have been some reports that the UAE and Saudi forces have been battling against Al-Qaeda. Now, of course, overall, they're fighting against the Houthis, who are also Al-Qaeda's enemies. But is it true that the Saudi forces have been fighting against the jihadists, too?
This is one of the biggest liars. No, it is a big lie. It is not right at all because Hadi and even Emirates, let me tell you Hadi. Hadi has only, Hadi has only Qaeda and ISIS leaders who have who are his allies. He don't have any other allies than the Islamic, the Brotherhood Party, that most of its leaders are Qaeda, ISIS, and they are in Riyadh, and they are blacklisted by U.S. Treasury Department. And I mentioned many times to you, seven of them. Seven of them are blacklisted by U.S. Treasury Department as global terrorists and violent. So these people are the people who are around Hadi in Riyadh and in Aden, and they are leading their people in the ground, and their people on the ground are two different groups, one Brotherhood and one Salafi. The Salafi ones are under Emirates, and the Brotherhood is under Saudi Arabia, under Hadi and Saudi Arabia, and they are fighting in all these cities that they control now, in Taiz, in the city, and in Aden, and in some other cities in Hadramaut like Mukalla or Sayoun. So they are fighting with each other. Unfortunately, they could not, the clashes don't stop even one day. For example, Aden witnessed clashes for the last five days, day by day. Why? They say, or the people say that this group is with the Emirates, and this group is with Saudi Arabia, and this group is with that, and this is, you know. So there is no one leadership, unfortunately. They are fighting with each other.
Mm. All right, now, you know, it seems kind of strange, even after 2 years of war here, doesn't it, that the Houthis, they've never controlled the capital city, the Zaydi Shia from up in the north before, but now it seems like they have a pretty solid hold on the capital. But that's what this whole thing is about, right, is that the Saudis can't stand it that the Houthis control the capital city, and that's why they launched the war. Is there any way to negotiate that so that the Saudis could be placated, or the Houthis could share power with some other faction or something, that where both sides could come to an agreement here?
Houthi is very open. Houthi now is a symbol for all the national forces, not only Houthi. The most important one is the Saleh Bati, the former president, and the former ruling party is a very important ally with Houthi. They are open to anyone. And unfortunately, Saudi Arabia does not even want to recognize with what they are doing. Although they know that the people, the ambassadors of all the states that sponsor this UN peace talks, if we can say, these ambassadors keep saying that Sana'a is the safe place for any talk. Sana'a is the safe place for any dialogue, because they know, including Kerry, John Kerry, he said Sana'a is the safe place for any talk, for any talking about anything. If you want to, he said this many times, because they know that now, for example, we have been for 2 years now, and at least now for 16 months, we haven't seen any bombings here in Sana'a, except from the sky, the air strikes. But no problem at all. It's a government now. There is a government. There is a presidential council. There is a parliament. All the institutions of the state are working according to the law and order. There are many people who disagree with the war. There are many people who oppose Houthi. And they express themselves. There are strikes. There are demonstrations. This is Sana'a now, under all these war crimes. So there is no emergency state. There is law and order here in Sana'a. And they, Saudi Arabia did not want this at all. So they are doing everything to sabotage this stability and this calm in Sana'a, and they escalate the battles in about 11 now, in about 11 battles now, not only in the border of with Saudi Arabia. In the border with Saudi Arabia is only one gun, but there are now about 10 more here, including the coastal, the western coast of Hudaydah. They want to, or they have been trying to take over the Bab al-Mandab Strait, which is the strategic, the most important strait, and where about 4 million barrels go.
The gate of the Red Sea, you're saying?
Every day. Mm-hmm. Yes, in the Red Sea, yes. So they tried over the last few days to control, but unfortunately they were defeated, and in one day they lost about 100 soldiers and about 25 tanks and vehicles, and this was documented by the war media that everybody saw. It is not just talking or propaganda, and it was a big defeat because they thought that the commander of the operation killed in the first hour, and you can just imagine how they were planning in this battle or in this big operation. In the first hour, the commander was killed, the commander of the army of the operation here in Bab al-Mandab. Great.
Well, I'm sorry. There's so many different questions I want to ask you, but I guess I'm really running out of time here. Can you tell me about the blowback for Saudi, where the Houthi forces, because after all, they're from the north anyway, right? And you've talked about on the show before how they've invaded Saudi Arabia now in response, and they've launched missiles and they've attacked towns on the Saudi side of the border. Is that still going on? Do they mean to actually stay, or they're just harassing the Saudis?
The problem now, yes, there are many efforts now. UN is still exerting many efforts to help, but Saudi Arabia is supporting. Saudi Arabia is unfortunately spoiling everything. Why? Because Saudi Arabia wants one thing. What is it? Saudi Arabia wants Yemeni fighters to withdraw from its territories, in the south, Najran, Beizan, and Asir. Not positions, but villages and towns. I'm talking about villages and towns and their Yemeni fighters. This is a fact since 16 months now. Al-Rabu'ah, for example, Al-Rabu'ah city is under Yemeni fighters. Many other villages are under Yemeni fighters. I'm not talking about positions and strategic positions, no. I'm talking about villages and cities that are under the Yemeni fighters. And those who are still under Saudi villages, the Saudi forces, they are empty. The cities and the villages, they are empty for 22 months now, or even before, maybe even before. The Saudis evacuated the residents from the villages and the cities and towns in the south 2 weeks before it started the aggression in 26th of March 2015. So the big problem with Saudi Arabia is why they don't want any Yemeni to be in its land, because this causes a big embarrassment, because Saudi Arabia is saying, I am not meddling, I'm just mediating. I'm there only at the request of the legitimate government and these lies, unfortunately. But Yemenis will never, ever withdraw. And they said this many times, that they will never, ever withdraw from the Saudi territory until Saudi stop or until the aggression and the blockade. And the aggression stop and the blockade lifted. Otherwise, no. And yeah, of course, they are now they disagree on the guarantee. Many months, they are talking about the guarantee. Saudi wants the guarantee. If Saudi says, if I stop the aggression, who would guarantee that Houthi would withdraw? And Houthi also and his allies would say, if I withdraw, who would guarantee that Saudi would stop the aggression? This is the problem. This is the big problem.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sorry. I'm just running so late, Nasser, and I got to go. But I just want to remind everybody that the U.S. has provided all of the arms for the Saudis in virtually this entire thing. And it's widely reported in the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, the L.A. Times, and everywhere else that it's U.S. intelligence helping pick the targets and U.S. tankers refueling their jet fighters on their way, their fighter bombers on the way on their missions, and all of the rest of it. So this is, and as you've said, and many others have said as well, Nasser, confirming your reporting, that the people of Yemen blame America. They know this is an American war. They're not fooled by some plausible deniability here. This is what Barack Obama has done.
Without doubt. Yeah. Let me just add one more important thing for your audience to complete the picture.
Sure, very quickly now.
Yes. UN envoy is here in Aden, and tomorrow he's here in Sana'a. I don't like to talk about him at all because I don't. But I want to tell your audience that he is here in Aden today with Hadi, and tomorrow he is here in Sana'a. He has now a plan that was bought by Kerry with three important points. The first one is appoint new vice president, and Hadi will keep for months, 4 weeks, without any doubt, and then a national government and surrendering the army and everything, army and weapons and everything, to this national government. So Hadi is still refusing because he doesn't want to go. This is why Hadi is refusing. But because Saudi Arabia is fed up with Hadi because he couldn't do anything to Saudi Arabia, so Hadi will be out and there will be a compromise vice president and the national government and then elections and then government and all these things.
All right, listen, I'm sorry I got to cut you here, but I really got to go. But thank you so much for coming back on the show, Nasser. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, y'all, that is Nasser Arbi reporting out of Sana'a, Yemen, there for you. And find his website at yemen-alan, that's ALAAN.com. Yemen Now. That's Scott Horton Show, scotthorton.org. LibertarianInstitute.org, Twitter.com/Scott Horton Show. Okay, thanks, guys.
Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson knows his stuff. He made a killing running his own hedge fund and always gets out of the stock market before the government-generated bubbles pop, which is, by the way, what he's doing right now, selling all his stocks and betting on gold and commodities. Sign up at WallStreetWindow.com and get real-time updates from Mike on all his market moves. It's hard to know how to protect your savings and earn a good return in an economy like this. Mike Swanson can help. Follow along on paper and see for yourself. WallStreetWindow.com. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new book by Michael Swanson, The War State. In The War State, Swanson examines how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy both expanded and fought to limit the rise of the new national security state after World War II. If this nation is ever to live up to its creed of liberty and prosperity for everyone, we are going to have to abolish the empire. Know your enemy. Get The War State by Michael Swanson. It's available at your local bookstore or at Amazon.com in Kindle or in paperback. Just click the book in the right margin at scotthorton.org or thewarstate.com.